Well, welcome everybody. This is a good thing to be here again, another day, and we are going to get started with today's lesson. Praise God. Well, I hope it is well with everybody. God bless every one of you as you are here with us today. So thank you for joining us. Glory to God. Well, good morning again, everyone. We are going to get started now. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, let me read some scriptures here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. And I know, as always, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be, even today. Bring that light, shine it in our hearts, give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28. That's the first of the scriptures that I want to read today. So in this scripture, here's what happened. One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, you know, and perceiving that Jesus had answered them well. You know, they were talking about, you know, they had asked Jesus a question about, well, you know, if somebody had a wife and died, and his brothers had a wife and died and left him no seed and all of that. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife shall he be? And Jesus knew that they were asking him that just because they didn't really believe in the resurrection. So he gave them an answer. Because, well, he said, you do err because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. And he told them in the resurrection, when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but as angels in God. Now, as touching that dead, whether they rise not, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush that God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead. My goodness. I mean, that's an amazing argument that Jesus put out there. You know, he said, look, if God called himself the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and God said, look, God's not a God of the dead. And that's something we should think about. You know, God is not a God of the dead. It's a God of the living. So Jesus was proving, therefore, that if God were to call himself by the names of those people whom people supposed to be dead, saying that, no, they are not dead. They are risen. Because, you know, there's an argument about resurrection. And that is so powerful. But that's not my subject here. But after that, somebody came and asked him and said, look, what is the first commandment of all? And Jesus said, well, the first of all the commandments is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You know, and I love that every time I read it. And people need to pay attention to that, you know, because it is so powerful. That's the first of all the commandments. Hallelujah. The Lord our God is one Lord. You'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. You know, so that's the first thing. You can't even begin to know anything about God unless you understand that. You know, so it is very important that we all should understand that. How that the Lord our God is one Lord, and not two or three or many more that people think. Today, we've made God out to be three, you know, and so forth. And every chance I get, I try to correct people on this. The Lord our God is one Lord, not two or three. Now, if that offends anybody, then they don't know the Lord very much. But let's get back to Mark chapter 12 and let's see what Jesus was saying to this guy when he was asking this question of what is the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, well, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, Jesus said. So if you're thinking of what's the first commandment, right here, Jesus said it himself. And the second is like it, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus wrapped up everything into just those two commandments. There is none other commandment greater than this. And now let's look at what this man said. It's so important. This scribe. Now these scribes, they were taught in the letter of the law. But this one here, this particular one, we're not told his name. But this particular one, he's going to bring out something beyond just the letter of the law. And he said, Master, thou hast well said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. So he got that one right. And to love him with all the heart, and with all understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Ooh, my goodness. Now, that law is, you know, the book of the law, the Torah and everything is filled with laws of sacrifices and offerings. The burnt law of burnt offering, the law of the free increase, the law of this, the law of that, the law of the harvest, the law of this, and sacrifice for this, offering for that. You know, even the temple symbolism that God asked Moses to put together. In that temple, there is still, you know, the altar of sacrifice, the this and that, you know, all kinds of sacrifices that they made throughout that law, the Old Testament being the law. But this man, he understood something beyond the letter of the law. And he said, look, to do these things that Jesus, the master, called out, is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus said, wow. Wow, he said. He said unto him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And that's where our text comes from today. And I'm going to analyze that for us today and give us, some thoughts on what that means. You know, how that Jesus concluded this conversation with, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You know, so let's take a look at the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. And so the intent here that I want to bring out is this particular scribe was able to understand the spirit of the law rather than the letter. The letter of the law says, do this, do that, burn the sacrifice, burn the other thing, do all of that and so forth, you know, and obey the law, do this and do this. You know, this is what they say, you know, keep the Sabbath, keep this, do that and so forth. That's all the law. And these people in the days when Jesus was physically there on earth, walking the streets of Nazareth, Galilee, you know, and even sometimes Samaria and all these places, you know, the Pharisees and those Jews of these days, especially the leaders, they were so focused on the letter of the law. And if, to the extent that even when Jesus would do a miracle on the Sabbath day, they would criticize him and they call him out and say, you can't do these things on the Sabbath day. Because, you know, and they even told one man, they said, look, you have 6 days in which you can come and be healed. Don't come on the Sabbath day. You know, this is how the people thought. Say, don't carry your bed. Don't come on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days. The temple is open. Come and be healed on any of those 6 days. But don't come here on the Sabbath day to be healed. Now, that's the letter of the law. But Jesus, he would set them straight. So let's read some of those places where Jesus set them straight. And there's something we're going to bring out. Yeah, don't jump to any conclusions here. There's something that we're going to bring out of this lesson today. You know, there is a story, many stories in the Bible of when Jesus did something and they jumped all over him for doing it. There's one in John chapter 5, there's one in Mark chapter 2, there's many places. I'll just read a couple of them today. You know, so let's read the one in John chapter 5 first. This is the story that Jesus healed this man of 38 years of infirmity by the pool that was waiting for the stirring of the pool. So you know the story, and I've even talked about it many, many times in this room. You know, so, but I'm not going to focus on that particular part of the story that I've talked about before. I'm going to focus on something else today. So what they said to this man and to Jesus was because, you know, it was the Sabbath day. So when this man was healed and Jesus said, take up thy bed, you know, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, from verse 9 of John 5, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath day. Now the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered unto them, well, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then they asked him, you know, who told you take up your bed and walk? And he didn't know, because Jesus had conveyed himself away. But there was a multitude in that place. Jesus didn't always like to be advertised. He just did what he did. Didn't care to broadcast that to the people. So the man departed. And later on, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. So the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. So the Jews, therefore, you know, they sought to slay Christ because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now, the Jews, they didn't care anything about anybody's, you know, sickness, infirmity, anybody's distress for many years, and the fact that the guy was healed. They don't care anything about that. What they cared about was that it happened on the Sabbath day. So they were more focused to the letter of the law. You cannot do these things on the Sabbath day. You know, so they challenged Jesus. But listen to what Jesus said. You know, and I'm going to bring something out of this verse 17. Jesus said unto them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I work. What does that mean? You know, I mean, my Father is still working up till now. He has not stopped, is what Jesus is saying. So if you think that God has stopped working because of your law that tell you, you know, Sabbath day, or your traditions that tell you that God stopped working since the Sabbath day, then Jesus said, you are wrong. He said, my Father is working up till now, and so also I am working. It doesn't matter whether it's Sabbath day, or Monday or Tuesday or whatever day the Jews called it back then. If it's Sabbath day or not, it makes no difference to Jesus. He said, as long as my Father is working, and he's still working up till now, that's what he that told me, then that means I also work. And if I see my Father show me a miracle to do on a Sabbath day, because remember he said, the Son can do nothing of himself. That's in verse 19 of the same place. He was telling them, said, look, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, what things soever the Father doeth, that the Son doeth likewise. So we see the Father do the miracle. Jesus follows suit. He didn't ask any questions whether it was Sabbath day or not. Didn't matter. My Father did it, and I saw it, and I did it. glory to God, you know. So, and, but they were sought to kill him even more, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, that's in verse 18, but also he called God his father, making himself equal with God. Now, the Jews understood certain things, which even people today do not understand. You know, they don't understand that if you are the son of God, that makes you equal with God. So, wow, you know, didn't say they understood that. So that persecuted Jesus even the more. But let's take a note of that. My father walketh hitherto, and I walk. Now, there's another story that I want to read quickly in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, you know, Jesus, there's another story where they challenge Jesus, you know, about some things. They say, why do your disciples do these things on the Sabbath day and so forth? So we'll pick this story up in Mark chapter 2. We'll pick it up from verse 23. Now, the lesson I'm teaching here, just so we don't lose track, of course, is you are not far from the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, we saw how that one scribe understood the spirit of the law rather than the letter. So I'm talking about cases where people were so focused on the letter of the law here. I'm going to read those examples first before I bring out other things that the Lord will have us do here. Oh, no. So, it came to pass, Mark 2, chapter 23, verse 23. It came to pass that when he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of the corn. Jesus was just passing through. The disciples were with him and they were plucking corn. And Jesus didn't tell them not to do it. You know, and it was the Sabbath day. And Jesus knew it was the Sabbath day. So the disciples said to him, the Pharisees said to him, behold, why do your disciples do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day? And you are not even, and you're there, and you're letting them do it, you're encouraging them, or you are not forbidding them. I mean, these things are wrong. They can't do this on the Sabbath day. So they began to challenge Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, have you never read? Listen to this. They're accusing Jesus that his disciples are doing things on the Sabbath day, and he is not preventing them or rebuking them or instructing them according to the law of Moses. And Jesus turns around, rather than in addressing that point directly, he turns around and asks them this question. Have you never read? Now, so Jesus is going to tell you that, look, you know, the letter of the law killeth, but the spirit gives life. Jesus said, look, have you never read, you know, what David did when he had need and when he was hungry and those that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest only, and gave also to them which were with him. And what did God do? Did God strike David down? Of course not. David understood the letter of the law versus the spirit. And he said, look, it is indeed common bread, so give it to me. And he took it, he ate it, he gave it also to his disciples. The people that followed him. And they all ate. And God didn't do anything about it. And even not only did God not do anything about it then, Jesus is now going to give a testimony about them and say that this thing is written in your law, how David did this thing. You know, haven't you read it there? So don't come and tell me here about the Sabbath day. David did this thing. And he says unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, that completely blows away their tradition. Completely. Threw it away. And Jesus had no liking for tradition. You know, he said, you know, and I've quoted this multiple times. you know, John 6 and 63. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profit nothing. Paul himself wrote, he said, the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So, you know, you got to engage in the spirit of the word rather than the letter. These people, they couldn't care. As long as he said, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, that's all they cared about. Jesus threw that tradition right out the door. He said, look, Sabbath day or not, which of you in another place would have his donkey or mule fall into the pit on the Sabbath day and would not straightway pull him up? And if you would do that, if your donkey falls into the pit, will pull him up, and then you would not, I mean, you do that on the Sabbath day, you will not leave him there until the next day just because it's Sabbath. Why is your heart, you know, so hardened then that you would not recognize that somebody that is suffering and needs deliverance could be healed or should be healed on the Sabbath day, you know, rather than wait until the next day? I mean, if you would do that for your donkey, is this man's life or this person's life not better than a donkey? But when they would say those things, when Jesus would say those things to them, they would not have an answer. You know, so he would say that, and then they would be looking at him and say, well, what is he talking about? Well, let's read it in Luke chapter 14. We're going to read the story in Luke chapter 14. These are all the places where Jesus threw their traditions away. And then we're going to come back to what it means to not be far from the kingdom. Luke chapter 14, let's start from verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went to the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. You know, and, you know, Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Because he knew their hearts. So he asked them these questions. And when they held their peace, then Jesus healed him and let him go. And he answered and said to them, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And again, they could answer him nothing. You know, so Jesus is telling them that, look, if you care more about your donkey, why then would you not, you know, be joyful that a man is healed on the Sabbath day rather than zero in on the fact that it was the Sabbath day? So let's go back to the scribe that answered Jesus so marvelously, dissecting the law and bringing out the spirit of the law, and Jesus saying, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is not about do's and don'ts. And that's what I'm trying to bring out here. The kingdom of God is about the spirit of the law. You know, the law was like a taskmaster that was given to us to bring us, you know, onto the liberty of the sons of God. While we were yet sinners, while we were children, it was like taskmasters. But the law is a good thing if a man use it lawfully. If you don't, you entangle yourself with it and you'll be in even more trouble. And people try to live under the law and so on. They get so entangled, they don't even understand it. Now, when we come into the kingdom of God, the Lord said, I will write my law in their hearts. The Spirit of God, by the nature, the very nature of God, you keep the law by just the nature of God being in you. You're not so focused on, you know, don't do this on the Sabbath day and so forth. The Spirit of God will make you keep the law in the spirit of the law. Now, this is not to throw away any part of God's word. Because Jesus said, not one jot or one tittle, not one dotting of the I or crossing of the T will fall to the ground until all be fulfilled. You know, but many of them were fulfilled in Christ. I mean, in particular, this law of Sabbath was fulfilled in Christ. Because you saw that Christ just threw it out of the door completely. And the Sabbath that we have now is described for us in Hebrews, you know, chapter 4. There is now, therefore, a promise being left of us of entering into his rest. This is the real Sabbath of God that we have now. But many people come short of it, we're told. Because they did not believe God, and they could not enter into the rest. Seeing therefore, verse 6 of Hebrews 4, that there remaineth that some must enter into this rest, and they to whom it was preached first entered not in because of unbelief, then it means that some people must enter in. There therefore remaineth a rest to the people of God. What is that rest then? Well, he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his works. Just like God did. Now, God ceased from his works. You know, I've corrected people on that before, that it wasn't that he was tired, but he ceased because he was done. When you're done, you cease. It's not necessarily because you are tired. God was not tired, because according to Isaiah 40, he said, hast thou not known? Now, you heard that the everlasting God is never weary and he doesn't get tired. But God finished his works, so he stopped. And the grace of God now that we have brings us into a place of rest in the Lord. When you come into the Spirit of God now, the Spirit of God comes into your life rather, you now have a rest that people who are under the law don't have. And also, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. There is a rest for the people of God, and it's more than just the letter of the law. The Holy Spirit, he gives us comfort and he gives us rest. He's our comforter. He's with us now. He guides us. But back to the kingdom. The lesson that we want to share today, and it won't be long, is that when we come into the kingdom, Jesus said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You know, that means you're very close. You know, if you can understand the difference between the law in its letter and the spirit of the law, then you are very close to the things of the kingdom. That's what Jesus is saying. The things of the kingdom are exactly that. It's not about, you know, laws in letters and things like that. It is law in the spirit. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that here is a new covenant that I will make with them. I will write my laws in their hearts. Not after the first covenant, because they couldn't keep it. You know, so I am going to write my laws in their hearts this time around. And they will be able to keep it, because my spirit will also be in their hearts. Their fathers could not keep it. But this time around, I will write my laws in their hearts. Now, if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for him to come up with another covenant. But finding fault with that first covenant, he said, a new covenant I make with them. So we see that there is a new covenant. A new covenant of grace. Now that doesn't mean that, oh, well, because it's grace, you shall continue in sin. God forbid. You can read all of that in Romans chapters 5 and 6. Shall we continue then in sin so that grace may abound? Of course not. You know, but we must understand there is a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. In Hebrews chapter 8, let me read to us something here. And someday in this platform, I'm going to do a study of the book of Hebrews because it is so deep, you know. But let me read just a few things here. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath he, talking about Christ, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then there should have been no place to seek for a second. There should be no need. But finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers at the first, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not need to teach every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and to their iniquities, and so forth. And I will remember those no more. Now, in that he saith a new covenant, that means he has made the first old. So, this is the thing. The kingdom of God is based upon a new covenant. Now, the old covenant is to bring us to closer, like this man. He said, oh, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So the old covenant brings you closer to the new covenant. But once you get into the kingdom, it's based on the new covenant. There are new instructions, a new constitution, new bylaws, new everything in the kingdom of God. It is completely new. Now, the tenets are based on the old, but it's new. It is new because he made the first one old. If there was no need, then why a new covenant? I mean, if the old one was good enough, rather, then why should there be a new covenant? But because the old one was not good enough, so he made a new covenant. And this new covenant, he signed, sealed, and delivered it in his own blood. Now, in this book of Hebrews, you will find out that he talks about a covenant. A covenant is not in force until the testator dies. You know, while the testator is living, the covenant is there, but it's dormant. I mean, if you make a will or anything like that, that doesn't come into play until the person that made the will dies. And then the executor of the will or whatever, they bring the lawyers and so forth, they execute the will. You know, and the man's gone. So likewise also, Jesus, that he might establish this covenant, he sealed it with his own blood. And now that he died, the blood, the testament now comes into play. So we have a new covenant. And this new covenant is based upon better promises. It's based upon, better promises. Please take note of that. This new covenant is based upon better promises. The old covenant was obey the law, obey the law, obey the law. But this new covenant said believe on Jesus, whom the Father has sanctified and whom he has sent. and it's based upon better promises. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. This new covenant is a better covenant. Now, better means he's comparing it. So something is not better unless you have something to compare it with. So he's comparing the old and the new. And he found fault with the old. So he came up with the new. Glory to God. And it's based on better promises. You know, the promises, there were not too many promises for them in the old. But, you know, there was one promise, the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with you, and that your days may be prolonged upon the earth. That's the first commandment with promise. You know, and then a lot of the other commandments were just like that. There was not a whole lot of promises attached to them. You know, but then the Lord came back and said, look, if you do all of these things, then it will be well with you. If you keep my word, it will be well with you. Deuteronomy 28, and he lists all of the things, all the blessings that will come if they keep the word of God, and all the curses that will come if they don't keep the word of God. But they couldn't keep it. Every time they said, we will do it, they could never do it. They could never do it. And why could they not do it? Because they did not understand the spirit of the law. They only understood the letter. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So they said, oh, the Lord said, if you will indeed obey my voice, Exodus chapter 19 and verses 5 and 6, that you will be unto me a peculiar treasure above all the people of the earth. They said, yeah, we will do it. Then later they said, no, we cannot do it. And this is how they were yo-yo. It's a yo-yo relationship was all they had in that Old Testament. One day they said, yeah, we're going to do it. We will do it. We will do it. The next day he said, we can't do it. We cannot do it. We cannot hear the voice of God. You go hear it and come and tell it to us. And every time they supposed to say, oh yeah, you know, we will do it. When Ezra and Nehemiah and all these people made them to swear to keep the word of the Lord, they would say, yeah, we are going to do it. But the next thing, you know, they will not do it. They will not do it. Because they just couldn't do it. But there is a new covenant that the doing of it is made possible by the Holy Spirit in us. And we are not going to go yo-yo like they used to do. Oh, one day we do it, one day we're not. The Old Testament brings us closer to understanding the New Testament, which is based upon better promises. And this scribe that Jesus was talking to, and Jesus said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. The reason he said it was because this man understood the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. The letter of the law was based upon sacrifices and offerings. The spirit of the law, Jesus wrapped it up. The letter of the law says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. That was the letter of the law. Jesus brought the spirit of the law in a different way. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the spirit of all those commandments that said, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do the other. And even Paul wrote about that. He said, look, all the law, you know, Jesus and Paul said, they are wrapped up in this thing. If you can understand the spirit of the law is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you understand that, it's the same as, and it's even better than thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet anything which is thy neighbor's, you know, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. All of those things are the letter of the law. The spirit of the law says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And did God, you know, discontinue the law? Of course not. He just made it better. It's a new standard. A new standard. Jesus came and said, look, you have heard of old time that it was said to you this way. But now I say to you this way, a new standard. So the kingdom of God brings a new standard, not a less standard, but a higher standard. Jesus said, look, in the old, they told you, hate your enemies, but love only your friends. And Jesus said, no, a new standard I give you. Love even those who hate you. And Jesus turned around again and said, look, you have heard that it was said of old. an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But now, a new standard. I tell you, if they slap you on the cheek, on one cheek, turn it on the other cheek. Now, that one is, my goodness, a high standard. I don't know if anybody can keep that one. You know, but Jesus began to, you know, say this thing. You have even heard, you know, he began to elevate, you know, these things. You have even heard that it was said, you know, divorce your wife, do all of these things. He said, no, for the hardness of your heart. But now I tell you this, you know, don't divorce your wife. If you do, you know, you'll be in danger of, you know, committing adultery and so forth. You make her commit adultery and you yourself commit adultery. So you begin to raise the standard. Just raise the standard. And Isaiah chapter 62, verse 10 says, lift up a standard for the people of God. There's a new standard now, folks. That's what it means by not being far from the kingdom of God. There is a new standard. We're not in the old standard of thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. All of that is now elevated into the spirit of the law, which says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. And this one scribe, he said, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your power and all your strength and so forth. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, that's better than all sacrifices and offerings. And Jesus said, wow, now you are talking. You understand? This is what Jesus was trying to tell the people. You know, don't look at the letter of the law. You won't do this on the Sabbath day. You won't do that on the Sabbath day. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will want them to be healed on the Sabbath day. Because you would like to be healed on the Sabbath day. And you won't, you know, you won't be so dogmatic about all of that. You know, so now, spiritual maturity, which is what this new covenant and the kingdom of God is bringing us into, demands certain things of us. It demands that we take and build upon what we already knew. Not throw away. Nobody, I'm not telling anybody to throw away the Old Testament. We build upon it. Jesus never threw it away. He built upon it. He would say, this is what how they did it before, but now I tell you, do it this way. So he's building upon it. He didn't throw it away, but he built upon it. Even the Sabbath, he didn't throw it away. He's just saying, look, there is a better way of knowing the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the So if I can do some good on the Sabbath day, that will cause the person that is in distress to have even greater rest. You know, because when somebody is in distress, they cannot have any rest. For them to enter into his rest, you take away their distress. And Jesus said, look, if I can do some good on the Sabbath to take away this man's distress and let him enter into rest, just like everybody else is trying to, then I'm doing the Sabbath even better. So, but people didn't understand that. You say, well, you know, this is a new standard. This is a new thing. You know, but if you can understand all of that, you know, Jesus told many parables throughout his teachings. In Matthew chapter 13, he told a lot of parables about the kingdom of heaven. And he said many things. But towards the end, you know, here's what he said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 52. Therefore, this is Matthew 13 and verse 52. But let me start at verse 51. He says unto his disciples, have you understood all these things? Because, you know, he just went through explaining the parable of the tares and the wheat. And then he said, yeah. Yes, Lord, we understand. He said, okay. Therefore, every scribe. Remember, that man that Jesus was talking to was a scribe. Every scribe that is instructed into the kingdom of heaven. Now, they were, their own was keep the law, keep the law, keep the law. They had no clue what the kingdom of God was like. But when they are now instructed into the kingdom of heaven, it's like a householder which can bring forth out of his treasure things both new and old. They didn't throw the old away, but now they have new things as well. So when this man, this scribe understood that, Jesus said, wow, you're not far from the kingdom. Because now you are being instructed into the things of the kingdom, and with your own mouth, you know, you're analyzing the concept of that kingdom, which is the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. Jesus said, you are not far from the kingdom at all. And so every scribe, you know, remember those scribes, they were schooled in the old. They understood the old. Now somebody will say, well, you cannot put new wine in old bottles and it will spill and damage everything. You can't put a new garment on an old. Both of them will rent and make the rent worse. Jesus said all those things. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about patchwork. We're talking about using the old as a springboard. In other words, as building blocks for the new. You know, we're not talking about putting, you know, you can't fit, I don't know how they say, square pegs into a round hole or whatever, or the other way around. You can't do it. You know, you cannot take, you know, this, the things of the kingdom are written in the heart by the spirit. You can't take that and merge that with traditions of men. That's not going to work. That's what Jesus was saying. But if you understood what the law was saying and you elevate it to the way that the kingdom describes these things and take all the thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not be a false witness, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not, you know, commit adultery, thou shalt not, you know, covet whatever is thy neighbor's. You take all of those, which is the old, you transpose it into one thing, which is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then you find out that that's a higher standard. Because there are some aspects of loving your neighbor as yourself that are not even inside those thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. There are many things that, about loving your neighbor as yourself that is outside and beyond all those five or six thou shalt nots. But if you understand how to love your neighbor as yourself, then you are not far from the kingdom. Doesn't mean you throw away the other, but you have now elevated yourself into a higher understanding. Here's how Peter put it. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, you know, the things that are going to get you closer to the kingdom of God, here's how he put it. He said that for those of you who have had faith in the Lord, that's good. You know, don't throw away what you have. But there are many exceeding great and precious promises. Remember, the new covenant is based upon better promises. So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. He said, look, there are exceeding great and precious promises that are given to us to bring us closer into the divine nature. For those of you who have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And here's what you must do. This is how you must build upon what you already have. Not throw away what you have, but build upon it. Give all diligence, he said. Add to your faith. Don't throw away your faith and say, I'm going to get virtue. No. Don't throw away the old and say, I'm going to get the new. No. Use the old as a springboard to a higher standard in the new. That's what it means to not be far from the kingdom of God. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge temperance. Add to your temperance patience. Add to patience godliness. Add to godliness brotherly kindness. Add to brotherly kindness charity, which is love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of our Lord is all about the kingdom. Now, because you have to understand who the king is. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten. You know, say he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Old is gone. Right, into a new. But if you lack these things, then you forget. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Make your calling and election sure. Because if you do these things, if you add the building blocks and more to the foundation that was already laid, then you shall never fall. For so, listen to this. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These things, this is the process of getting to the kingdom. That is why Jesus told that guy, you are not far. You're already on the journey because you understand how to analyze and dissect this thing, this law, and get the spirit of the law rather than the letter thereof. And say, wow, yeah, you know, all of that is better than sacrifice and offering. And you say, yeah, you got it. You know, and when you got it, when you come into the kingdom, you begin to add all these things. You must understand the kingdom. Understand the message that Jesus was trying to preach. And if you want to understand it, read the Gospels again. Read all the parables that Jesus preached about the kingdom. In the book of Matthew 13, so many parables about the kingdom. In Matthew 20, parables of the kingdom. In Matthew 25, parables of the kingdom. On and on and on. In Mark chapter 4, parables of the kingdom. In Luke 19, parables of the kingdom. I mean, he just went on and on and on. He was always talking, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. Kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, same thing. And they sent out his disciples, said, look, when you go, begin to preach about this kingdom. And we must understand it. Now, the first thing that we must understand, like this scribe that was talking to Jesus, is that the old covenant was given for us to figure out the spirit of the law and not the letter of it. Once you understand that, Jesus said, you are not far from that kingdom. You are very close. You are standing on the edge of entering into that kingdom. You know, once you can dissect the letter of the law from the spirit of the law. Once you understand that, you come into the liberty of the sons of God, the sons of the kingdom. But does that give us liberty for license to, for all kinds of, you know, unclean things? No. The love of God constraineth us. When we understand the principles of the kingdom, that's a constitution. This kingdom has its own constitution. Has his own laws. He has his own things. You know, the old laws were to bring us like a schoolmaster or a taskmaster. The scripture says to bring us to this place of understanding. Once we come into this place and we understand it, we all know that every kingdom has a king and every kingdom has a territory. And they, you know, it has subjects too. As citizens, and we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Once you come in, you know that you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, but you are his ambassadors here on earth. Once you understand that, you recognize also that a kingdom has constitution and it has laws. Constitution and laws, it has code of ethics, it has all these things. I mean, those are written in the Bible. And then it has, you know, as a citizen, you have benefits of this kingdom. Yeah, you have benefits. You know, and as a citizen, if you are a citizen, I mean, let alone, let's not even talk about ambassador here. Let's just talk about citizen. If you are a citizen and you carry the passport of your country to go into another country, that passport, you know, you will see that it's written there. Like, go look at it. Any of you has a passport, go read it. The United States presents you to that other country, you know, with certain requests that they should grant you certain things because you're coming from this country. And that passport is actually the property of the country, not an individual property. You see where it says this passport is the property of the United States of America, or is the property of the Republic of Nigeria, or whatever it is. Because it carries behind it certain things to introduce you to the place where you're going. Now, our passport, in our case now, is the faith that we have had and put into the blood of Jesus Christ and the remission work that he did for us, you know, to wipe away the old nature. And what Jesus came to do was more than just to forgive our sins. If forgiveness of sins was the only thing, then they would go back and make sacrifice every year. Because once they made sacrifice, their sins were forgiven. But their nature was not changed. The blood of bulls and goats and rams cannot purge conscience of sin. So every year, there's a remembrance again. They go back and do the same thing. There's a religion today, every week, they go and say to the priest, "Father, forgive me for I have sinned." And the man absolves them of their sin and they go away. And then they come back next week. Or if they don't come back next week, then they say, "Oh, well, it's been 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 3 months since my last confession." And they do it again. And then they go again. You know, and there's a remembrance. That sin nature can never be removed by all of that. You know. But the new covenant brings us into a place of, it's more than just forgiveness of sins. It's to take away the old nature. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Crucify the old man. Let it stay on the cross. Don't go dig it up again. But put on the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is the new man. It's a new creature now, if any man be in Christ.
Could you try again?
Sorry about that. I don't know. This Siri on my iPad suddenly just jumped up. This old nature is put away completely. Eradicated. That's the idea. There's a desire now in the new nature to be like Christ. The old nature didn't want to be like Christ. The old nature just wanted their sins to be pardoned. Just forgive my sin, that's all. And then you go back and do it and come back and forgive my sin. You know, and then give, you know, a sacrifice, you know, to cover the sin. You can cover the sin all you want, but the sin nature was never removed under the old. The laws of the kingdom bring us to a place to understand that we no longer engage Christ in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says we don't know any, 2 Corinthians 5:16. We don't know any man after the flesh anymore. Not even Christ. We knew him after the flesh one time, but once he went to that cross and died and did all of that, he changed all of that. The order of things are now in the spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature now. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, if there's anyone listening to this, you know, if you understand the letter of the law, then we need to advance into the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law will bring you into a place of newness in Christ. This is what it's all about. And that blood that Jesus shed for us on that cross of Calvary to take away our sins once and for all. He offered one sacrifice, one time. He didn't need to do it all the time. Those other high priests, they do it every year. Jesus did it one time. And once he's done, he entered into the holiest place forever. Now to be glorified in the presence of all his saints. And when we come into him, like that. We understand that you are elevated into that new nature. So that's the journey that we are on. But the first process in that journey that gets you close to that kingdom is what Jesus told the scribe. You are not far from the kingdom of God because you understand the spirit of the law rather than the letter thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. And I want to conclude by taking us back in case you missed where we started. I'm going to read it one more time. Mark chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 28. This was an engagement between Jesus and one of the scribes. You know, and prior to that, Jesus was, you know, talking to them about, they asked him about the resurrection. They tried to give him a trick question. Well, when somebody dies and has a wife, they have a child, our law says that, you know, his brother should take him or take the woman, you know, and so forth. And then, well, seven of them did, then none of them had a child. You know, he had a child for none of them. Well, in the resurrection, whose wife will it be? Because seven of them had him. So whose wife is it going to be? Well, and Jesus saw through all of that. He knew what was really in their hearts. You know, he said, well, I know what's in your heart. It's because you do not believe in the resurrection. That's why you are asking this. You know, and say, well, in the new life, they do not marry. That's number one. Number two, God is not a God of the dead. Now, if God was a God, maybe God called himself God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's not a God of the dead, and that means Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not dead. They are risen. That's an amazing argument. And so this scribe came and said, oh, you know, he saw how Jesus dealt with those people. Said, look, what is the great commandment? And Jesus told him. Said, what's the first commandment of all? He asked. Jesus said, well, the first commandment of all is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. You know, the Lord our God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then Jesus went and said, the second commandment is like this. And I mean, this was not exactly how the commandments were written. Because the other commandments were written, you know, thou shalt do this, thou shalt honor thy father and mother, thou shalt do this, and thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do that. I mean, pile up a whole bunch of commandments after the first. And Jesus wrapped it up and said, well, the second commandment is like this. Love thy neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these two. And this man said, wow. He said, you've said the truth, because there's one God, and there's none other but he. And to love the Lord, that one God, with all your heart and understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is better than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So that's where we started today. Upon which Jesus now said, yes, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And I took you on that journey to explain what that means and how the old is supposed to bring us into the new, and how when we get into the new, it's a newness and change that God brings into our hearts. And those of us that have experienced this new, we need to live in the new standard, not in the old, not in the letter of the law, but in the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law says that, the letter of the law says that you can't heal a person on the sick, on the Sabbath day. The spirit of the law says that the Sabbath day is given for rest, and it was made for man. And if this man that is troubled, that has had this sickness for many years, they don't have any rest. The spirit of the law says that if they can be healed on the Sabbath day, they will receive even this rest that the Sabbath is supposed to give them. So now Jesus said, look, this is how the Sabbath works. And they couldn't figure it out. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. That kingdom of God is not only at hand now, it's already here. And many of us were not only near the kingdom like this man was, we have entered it. once you have entered in now, we operate under new principles. You know, higher standard, not less, but higher. And it's not now a principle, it's not a set of principles of thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. No. It is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. If you can figure these two things out, you got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. But I want to acknowledge everyone that's in the room, that's been here. Some of you from the beginning, some of you joined as we went along. Some have listened and dropped, some will yet listen later on. This is it for today. But I want to give opportunity for not only a time of reaction to the today's, I want to give opportunity for reaction even to yesterday's, those who were in yesterday's room, when we talked about the greatness of our God beyond superlatives, when we called out all his attributes, or many of his attributes, when I asked people to comment on each of those attributes and call out the one thing that came to mind when you heard one such attribute. And we went from many of those attributes. We went from his very essence. You know, we went from his essence, we went from his greatness, we went from his, you know, his love, we went to his judgments, we went to, you know, everything. We even went to his mercy. That's right. The mercy of the Lord. And we called out Psalm 136 as we read it. So if you have a testimony, come up. If you have a reaction to today's lesson or yesterday's, come up as well. This room will be ending soon. So we're changing the order of the room now. This is now a segment. You heard from me. It's my segment to hear from you. I let everybody else in the room hear from you as well. Share what you have, what's on your heart. Remember, this is how we all grow. Hear a little, there a little. Line upon line, preset upon preset. And the hand cannot say, I'm not any use to the body because I'm not the brain. That would not work. Neither can the feet say, because I'm not the hand, therefore I'm not any use. That would not work. The hand must do its part. The feet must do their part. You know, the eyes, they do their part. And everybody does its part. And so that's how we are complete in him. God bless everyone. I am Pastor Yato. I yield my mic now for those who want to come. If you want to come and share